All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. We have a guest in the house, actually not in the house, but we're using a program. We're talking to Brett Rye, who's up in northeastern Colorado. A good buddy of ours, ends up fishing a lot of the tournaments, but he's a really good stick, but he's also an avid ice fisherman. Brett's already been out on the ice here in Colorado. That's saying something for some of the lower lakes. Yeah. Up in the mountains, it's a little bit different.
I'll tell you what, dude, I am happy this is a podcast and not a video cast, because if it was a video cast, we would not have Brett on with us.
No.
That is one of the ugliest dudes we've got in this state.
I definitely do have a face for podcasts, that's for sure.
Hey, and Brett, just so you know, it goes both ways, so have at it.
Feel free.
Yeah, Mitch is the whole reason we did a podcast and not a YouTube show. Brad and I were all ready to go with YouTube, so, you know, Mitch can relate.
So what we want to talk about is getting out on water. I mean, some of the guys up north have been out for several weeks. North Dakota, I mean, I've been seeing it for 4 or 5 weeks. They've had some really good ice. They've been out catching quite a few fish. Around here, we get some mountain ice for sure, but definitely some of the other lakes are starting to freeze up. Brett does a lot of time out on the ice, and we have some conversations in the past that me and Mitch have talked about ice, but it's great to bring somebody else in that has a bunch of different knowledge. They just do different things and how to be successful on the ice. So, Brett, welcome to our podcast, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, I'm 45 years old, and I work for UPS, and I fish and hunt on the side.
All the time.
I'm 45 years old, and I like women.
Yep. So, I think...
Oh, you mean this isn't an interview?
Yeah, this isn't Playboy magazine, dude. Don't worry. We'll get you. we're just talking about crappies.
Yeah. So, I think some of the things we're going to talk about, early ice, you know, of course, some safety. What are some things that you do safe on the water, then we'll kind of go in and what makes you successful?
Yeah, hey, and I'll tell you one thing I want to throw this out there about Brett. He's the man. Okay, he's successful in tournament fishing, just going out fishing, ice fishing. You're a big hunter, all of it. And I, you know, there's some guys and, you know, all these outdoor sports, yeah, they seem to be good at all of it, right? Oh, they're passionate, they invest the time, they've learned, and that's the kind of guy Brett is. So I just wanted to kind of set that up for everybody. Brett, you're the man.
Yeah, you definitely know what you're doing.
Yeah, and when you tell him a little bit about yourself, other than you're 45 and you have, you know, dashing eyes, we tell them a little bit about, you know, you're a big coyote hunter too, and we want to touch on that. Even though this is All Eyes on Fishing, we definitely want to talk about how you destroy some coyotes, and you are nationally known for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know some guys who are really good coyote hunters. If you want to get them on the podcast, I'll call them up.
we'll just roll the dice with you for right now. How about that?
I've got an idea. We can pretend it's a podcast. I'll write down all kinds of notes. And thanks, guys.
We'll never air this.
It won't really be a podcast.
Talk to us about safety. What do you think on the ice, early ice?
Well, early ice is tough because right now we got snow on the ice, and snow insulates the ice. So you may think that there might be 4 inches, and there's really just 2. Mm-hmm. So bring a spud bar with you.
Mitch has heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, really.
It's okay to laugh. That's pretty funny.
Josh doesn't like to go on the ice till at least it's 12 inches.
Yeah, everybody knows that I'm not a big ice fisherman, so I just throw in my 2 cents here.
Not an ice fisherman, but he's an interrupter. Go ahead, Brett.
Sorry, Brett. Keep going.
Anyway, before I was interrupted by Junior, take your spud bar and really get the ice good when you're walking out in front of you. Hit that thing with a spud bar. You know, if that thing goes through, back up. Don't go any further, because you don't want to walk any further than that. So,
what's some of the safety equipment you bring with you?
Well, I don't. You know, there's a lot of ice coats or flotation devices. They're not Coast Guard approved. So what I do is I just have those ice picks. They're on like a coil spring cord that wrap around your neck,
like Yukon Cornelius. What's that? Like UConn Cornelius?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, up there looking for Rudolph. Anyways, sorry, it was a little, little Christmas cheer.
If you fall through the ice, you know, you can take those ice picks in your hands and you're swimming and you're trying to get out through the ice and you grab the ice with those picks and it helps you pull yourself out, if that makes sense to you.
Have you ever fallen through?
I fell through at North Sterling 3 years ago.
Really? How deep was it?
It was about 5 feet.
Oh, dang.
And it's a good thing I'm 5'10" because
that's right.
You know, otherwise, it was
up to your chin. Yeah. Yeah. You know, real quick. Here's the thing too, that, you know, of course, if somebody is going out and they go through the ice, you know, it's freak out time for most people, right? So some of the keys is, I think, you stay calm. And, you know, the mistake people make, you're heading out in a certain direction, you fall through the ice, you're still facing that way. So just naturally they want to go that way, but that ice is probably thinner that way. So one of the keys is, if you do go through, is to turn around mm-hmm. from where you came. And that's where you want to try to climb back out with your spikes or whatnot.
You know, Brett, with Mitch being a Minnesota boy, you haven't really lived or been a real Minnesota ice fisherman until you put a full-size blazer through the ice or something like that. So,
well, then I'm not a real ice fisherman. Because I have
a Suburban once.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's got to be something. You have to lose some sort of sport utility or a truck. Then you're a true, you know, Midwest ice fishing boy. So.
No.
Well, Mitch, have you up there in Minnesota? Did you ever drive the vehicles out on the ice,
A bunch? You bet. That was standard procedure. In fact, Mille Lacs, it's so big it gets these big ice heaves, and you know, like we see on some of the bigger lakes here, 11 Mile. You know, you see them a lot. Oh no, they put metal bridges over them, so that's really a trip when you're driving on these roads on Mille Lacs, and you have to drive over this metal bridge, and you look down there. Oh yeah, there's open water over this crack. It's like, really? But oh yeah, everybody's doing it.
Just keep going. Yeah. Yeah. Check.
Well, last year when we went to Devil's Lake, we had, you know, we went with the Perch Patrol, and Corey Springle was our guide, and he has a Tahoe, and he just drove right out on the ice. I mean, we're in the middle of Devil's Lake in 40 feet of water. Jeez. Driving around like it's a highway.
Yeah. It's a little freaky, isn't it?
It is a little freaky.
Not only can Corey, you know, catch some walleyes, but he's got giant balls of steel, dude, because I would be scared to death. Tell us about North Dakota. You and I talked about North Dakota before, but you had a really good time, and you really learned some stuff from Corey while you were up there.
We did. I learned that we went perch fishing, and I learned that perch fishing are all mostly in the basin at that time of year.
Really?
Which is really hard for me to fish because I'm not a basin fisherman. I'm a structure guy.
Mm-hmm.
And just fishing out in 40 feet of water with nothing down there is like nerve-wracking for me because I want to be over some structure. I want to know where the fish are filtering through from instead of just they could be coming from any which way, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you guys would pop holes, you know, fish 10, 15 minutes in a spot. If you didn't pick anything up, you'd boof and just keep rolling like that across the basin?
Well, how the Perch Patrol would do it is Corey would pop a hole and he'd set us down in our huts and we'd start fishing. And he would go off in the Tahoe, drive across the ice, and start popping holes 200 yards away, and he'd fish for a while. And if he found a school of fish, he'd come back and see how we were doing. And if we weren't catching anything, he would go and take us to that school he was just on.
Ah.
And most of the time, by the time we got back to that school he was just on, they were gone.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
mm-hmm. How were you guys predominantly fishing them down there in the basin?
Buckshot spoons tipped with wax worms. And just some tungsten jig heads with wax worms, you know, nothing too crazy.
Mm-hmm. So did you, when you were rolling out in the Tahoe, did you get a chance to pick his brain a little?
Oh yeah. It was, you know, he's one of those guys, he's really in tune with things and you can tell his mind is always working, and that's why he's so successful. Cause he's always thinking about fishing, how he can improve whatever it is he's going to do.
That's kind of crazy. I've heard that about him. I've heard he's a pretty focused guy, and he's like a machine when he gets out there pre-fishing for tournaments, and then tournament day, he's all business.
And that's kind of the way it was in the pickup, or not the pickup, but the Tahoe when we were driving. I'd try to pick his brain, and it was a real to-the-point answer, you know, like what he had to say. When he talks, you better listen, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's all right. And then where else have you been ice fishing that you like to go and do pretty well at?
Well, I just like to stay at home mostly because, you know, we got some good ice around here at times. And I fish North Sterling a lot. I fish Jumbo, Pruitt. I even fished Jackson last year, which was a first for me.
Mm-hmm. And
we caught a lot of wipers through the ice out there at Jackson this year, or last year. Sorry.
Yeah, they got a lot of wiper in that lake.
Yeah. I bet it's pretty crazy trying to keep wiper on through the ice. I mean, they run everywhere when it's no ice.
Well, you know, Jackson's like 10 feet deep at the most. And, you know, we were fishing in 5-6 feet of water. And, you know, when a wiper hits it, he don't mess around.
Right.
In 6 feet of water, it's quite fun.
Yeah, you fishing tip ups or just mostly jig rods?
No, I don't fish any tip ups. I'm jigging the whole time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your theory on ice fishing and jigging? Do you treat it like a boat and you bounce, or do you drill a hole and work it for a while?
Well, it just depends. I mean, like if you find some structure that some crappie are sitting on, like the other day I sat on some structure for 2 hours and caught probably 30 crappie. But when you're walleye fishing, it's just like in the boat. Sometimes you just got to keep drilling holes. You got to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
There was we talked about this the other day, Josh, but there was a day at the Pruitt a couple years ago, and I'd pop a hole and I'd catch a walleye within the first 30 seconds. And then I wouldn't see a fish for 30 minutes. And then I would move and pop another hole and I'd catch a walleye in the first 30 seconds. And I wouldn't see nothing for 30 minutes. So I decided that what was going on was them fish were just sitting out there in the basin. They weren't roaming. And when I would go drill a hole somewhere, I would land on top of one and I'd catch whatever was there. And then I'd just have to go and move again
and keep going.
Fish.
Well, and I know you're not a big live bait guy, but do you tend to focus a little more on tipping and live bait in the ice like most do? Or do you still stick with your spoons and jigs and work them that way?
I have started to use a lot of wax worms, but Berkeley makes a product that is pretty good. Those Berkeley Gulp Alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not as good as wax worms, but they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Northland makes a product called Northland Impulse. It's like a minnow head. It's an imitation minnow head. It kind of looks like a minnow, sort of.
Yeah.
And it's got some kind of scent that they really like. Because the other day, those crappies, they were all over that.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
And what type of line are you using? Because there's so many. I've noticed there's so many lines coming out. Berkeley has a new line out. And I've just seen a lot of different new fishing lines for ice fishing, which kind of goes to show that ice fishing is also gaining in popularity. I think walleye fishing in general is gaining in popularity. But I think ice fishing is also starting to get a lot more traction as far as it being more of a commercial type sport in other places.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you want. I'm a braid guy all the way, open water, ice water. I'm a braid guy. But, you know, if you're like Mitch and you live in like the 1990s, you can use monofilament if you want.
I like my mono.
Monofilament. Brett.
Love mono.
What kind of braid do you like?
I like that that Berkeley is crystallized is what they call
it. Yep.
That stuff is great. And I never have to worry about you get a fish on and he's off to the side of the hole and you drill a hole and there's a sharp edge on that hole. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about your line breaking. You know, you don't want to lose a big fish in the hole. That's for sure.
No. So kind of talking about some of the basic gear, of course, we've talked a little bit about the safety. So going out there, are you taking like a couple jigging rods? Of course, do you run a Vex, I'm assuming, something like that, some sort of flasher or some sort of fish finder? If guys are listening to this and they want to get into the sport outside of having an auger or a power auger, what would you recommend that they need to be successful or at least have a chance starting out? Because there's a lot of people that I know are going to hit us up on email. So I figured let's cover this now. What would you say are the top things that you need to have to have success?
Well, that just depends on how much of a budget you got. Because for years, I never fished with an ice rod. I just used my regular ice fishing or my regular open water pole to ice fish. And I never had a flasher. I never had anything. And I just used straight jigs, like crappie jigs, mm-hmm. and caught tons of fish when I was a kid. But now if you want to get into ice fishing, I'm one of those guys who does more with less. I don't have an expensive $600 flasher. I bought a little Garmin Striker 4. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little handheld GPS is what it looks like. But it's a sonar, and it costs $100. The ice bundle is like $200, and it's got a GPS on it. And I've caught a lot of fish on that thing. Yeah, and I'll tell you why I use it. That little screen, if you know, we all have our sonars on our boats. Mm-hmm. And if you got a 5-inch, a 9-inch, or a 12-inch, and you got the A scope on the right-hand side, everything past that to the left is history.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need a 9-inch or even a 5-inch, because everything past the A scope is history.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and don't, you know, Brett's being a little coy here. Don't let him fool you. If he's not spending his cash on the ice fishing, he's definitely spending it on the open water side. So we all know that you appreciate the finer things when it comes to your boat and the open water stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, Brett. I don't have a bunch of fancy stuff. I got my Vex probably 15 years ago or more. It works great. And, you know, it's such a, I guess, simple technology, but it's so real that I don't need anything fancier.
The only thing
that's
missing, like what he has, though, is being able to replicate. He knows where that structure is. The GPS aspect is huge.
The GPS is huge. Yes. Yeah, that's the key.
Well, and I don't even use the GPS on my Garmin.
Not
either.
That
I
huge.
Use my phone.
Not huge.
Just no, kidding. Never mind.
Not very kidding. Important.
Yeah, that's not important. Strike that.
Check that. Back it up.
I assume that would be a big idea or a good thing to have. Yeah, see, that's why you use your phone. What are you doing? Dropping pins or what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give away all my secrets, but you know, if you get an app that tells you where you're at with the GPS, you can, you know,
yeah,
you can. Market.
I think what we need to get at, though, is if you whatever you're using, whether you're using an app or you have a GPS, is being able to replicate or get back to that structure that was holding the fish, or because it's not as easy to move in ice fishing. Me and Mitch have talked about it before. What we kind of do is we get out to a lake and we'll pop a hole. We usually, it depends on where we're at, if we're bringing ice houses or not, or the, you know, like a clam.
They always bring an ice house, Brett. They like being in there together.
Oh yeah.
Dude, there's nothing better than sitting in an ice house and having a beverage.
I know. Yeah. That's what we keep telling Josh. So scary.
Yeah.
But we like to, you know, we'll fish a place
10,
15, 20 minutes. And if we're not seeing fish on the Vex or we're not getting anything, we'll move 100 yards. We'll keep working that breaker. We'll go up into the shallows or go, you know, until we find those fish. So being mobile is important. But it's also important to be able to get back to where you are. Should you come back later on that day or maybe the next day, to know where that structure is, especially if you're fishing a newer body of water that you're not used to.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're going to, you know, at the end of the short podcast, we are going to take Brett over to the next level and we're going to dive in a little bit more into his secrets. He doesn't know that, but we're going to work it out of him like a, like a lie detector, right? Like a Chinese secret, you know, spy, but
good luck.
Yeah. We're going to work it out of him, but Brett has a lot of tricks, and a lot of, really good ideas when it comes to locating fish, not only in the ice, but you know, when we're in open water. So when we do switch over to the next level, if you guys want to hear that more with Brett, we're gonna
dive into it.
Yeah, we're gonna dive into it pretty deep with Brett, and we might not just stay ice fishing. We might dive into a few open water thoughts too. But you know, that's the great part about doing these podcasts, especially with, like, we talk about normal guys, right? Normal guys like Brett, who are just solid fishermen, who, you know, other than running across him at a tournament or something, you probably wouldn't know him from Adam, you know, out there in the Northeast Plains. But you know, dude can definitely go at it when it comes to fishing.
Right,
so
right.
So anyways, that's definitely something to
look forward to. Here's what we're really gonna do.
Okay.
We're gonna do the next level, but in January, and Brett, you tell us when. We're driving up and we're going to get Junior on the ice and we're going to videotape it, because it's going to be great watching him kind of tiptoe out there for the first time. Like, oh, you guys, I don't know about
hopefully
this.
Hopefully it's a cold morning where the ice is cracking and he'll just be freaking out.
Booming.
So let me tell you a story about on the ice at Bar Lake a couple years ago. We were on 3 inches of ice and it was only like 4 degrees outside. and the wind came up. There was no wind at the time, but we were sitting on a bucket, me and another guy, and the wind just happened to come up, and that whole ice sheet on the whole lake moved. Oh. And it felt like you fell 2 feet. The ice shifted so much. And that scared the Jesus.
Yeah.
I would have not touched ice in my... I looked like a cartoon character running back to shore.
The Roadrunner.
Gone. Oh, out. Dude, I'd have been like, peace. I gotta go.
Yeah, I know. You would.
Yeah, I would.
Although you wouldn't be as fast as you think you are.
Yeah. Well, I would look fast in my mind, I'll tell you that.
There's been a couple... Brett, usually first ice, I hit 11 mile. I've got a good spot for pike. But there's been a couple times where... It's cold, just like that, where you know it's making ice, right? And it's booming and booming. And, you know, dudes are with me, and they're like, are you sure this is okay? I'm like, no, it's cold. It's making ice. It's a good thing. And then out of nowhere, like a world record boomer right next to us is like, me and you hit
me one. Me and you.
Yeah. It was like, whoa.
We both stood up like we're running.
Yeah. And I've been on the ice a bunch. I don't get too spooked, you know, if I'm confident in the ice. And
But sometimes the ice shifting, that'd freak you out.
Yeah, man. I bet. Yeah.
So.
Well, what's really freaky is when you got a couple of guys fishing 10 feet apart, and all of a sudden a crack goes between your guys' two holes. That's a little rough.
It's a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough in a lot of ways.
Unless you're in 5 feet or under.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Yeah. Unless you can barely breathe through a straw, you know, as you're tilting your head back. Very good.
For 34 seconds before you freeze to death. Hey, we do appreciate it, Brett. And everybody that's been listening, we do appreciate everything that you do. Following us on All Eyes on Fishing. Following us on our podcasts. Send us your thoughts on what you want us to talk about on the podcast and any questions you have to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We really appreciate it. It takes us some time to get back to you. Hit up our website, too. We got a lot of apparel out there. We also have a tournament series if you're in the Colorado area and you want to fish that. Check everything out at alleyesonfishing.com or the Colorado Walleye Trail. We'd like to thank Brett for everything, for joining us tonight. But we're going to take this the next step. So we're going to take a next level trip with Brett. And we're gonna make him talk a little bit. Yeah. And maybe not. We don't need to know spots, but we need to know some tricks, something that you're doing.
What are you doing, Brett?
I just want to do better.
I kind of feel like maybe I'm about to be in a torture.
Yeah, good thing you're not live and you're in here. Yeah,
yes, comrade, you're about to be in it.
Yeah, it puts the lotion on. He'd never leave. We'd have you buried in a hole.
But it's the lotion. No, that's wrong.
No, dude. Hey, I do appreciate it, Brett. From everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, have a good night. Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.